Importance of meditation on April 28th, 1935. That's the Feast of Divine Mercy. That's how Faustina is celebrating, I think, the first time, 1935. It's No Sunday, we call No Sunday because taking away the white cloth, you know. So, are you ready? Low Sunday, that is the Feast of Divine Mercy, the conclusion of the Jubilee of the Redemption. When we went to take part in the celebrations, my heart leapt with joy that the two solemnities were so closely united. I asked God for mercy on the souls of sinners. Toward the end of the service, when the priest took the Blessed Sacrament to bless the people, I saw the Lord Jesus as he is represented in the image. The Lord gave his blessing and the rays extended over the whole world. Suddenly, I saw an impenetrable brightness in the form of a crystal dwelling place, woven together from waves of brilliance unapproachable to both creatures and spirits. Three colors led to this resplendence. At that moment, Jesus, as he is represented in the image, entered the resplendence through the second door to the unity within. It's a triple unity, which is incomprehensible, which is infinity. I heard a voice. This feast emerged from the very depths of my mercy, and it is confirmed in the vast depths of my tender mercies. Every soul believing and trusting in my mercy will obtain it. I was overjoyed at the immense goodness and greatness of my God. That day, her recollection. The next day, April 29, 1935. On the eve of the exposition of the image, I went with our Mother Superior to visit a confessor for the sepulchre. When the conversation touched upon the image, the confessor asked for one of the sisters to have made some breaths. Mother Superior replied, "Sister Faustina will help." I was delighted at this, and when we returned home, I immediately set about preparing some greens, and with the help of one of our wards, brought them together. Another person who works at the church also helped. Everything was ready by 7 o'clock that evening, and the image was already hanging in its place. However, some ladies saw me standing around there, for I was more broader than a hip, and on the next day they asked the sisters what this beautiful image was and what was its significance. Surely these sisters would know, they thought, as one of them had helped adorn it the day before. The sisters were very surprised as they knew nothing about it. They all wanted to see it, and immediately they began to suspect me. They said, "Sister Faustina must certainly know all about it." When he began asking me, I was silent, since I could not tell the truth. My silence increased their curiosity, and I was even more on my guard not to tell a lie and not to tell the truth, since I had no permission to do so. That he started to show the displeasure and reproach me openly, saying, "How is it that outsiders know about this and we nothing?" Various judgments were being made about me. I suffered much for 3 days, but a special power took over in my soul. I was happy to suffer for God and for the souls that have been granted His mercy during these days. So whenever we celebrate, sometimes some of us might suffer for its sake. So Jesus invited people to come for adoration, come for the divine mercy image. So all is beautiful. Should be very quiet and calm and peaceful. But sometimes some people have to a kind of victim soul. They suffer for other people. Faustina is one of them. So many times don't ask why I'm so fervent to the Lord and so many problems, crosses on me, on my family, on my beloved. Sometimes it's the will of God that we share. Love also, God's love is sacrifice also. We share not only joy and peace. Apart from that, we share the truth, the real truth of love. It's dying of oneself. That's how we can maintain this peace of mind. Unless you die, you won't have peace. Do you agree? Seeing that so many souls have been granted divine mercy these days, I regard as nothing even the greatest suffering and toil, even if they were to continue till the end of the world. So it doesn't matter, even if she suffer until the end of his life, her life, she enjoy, because people get the grace. It's important. For they will come to an end, while these souls have been saved from torments that are without end. Her suffering is limited, but if a soul go down to hell forever, so she'll be delighted to share part of his suffering for the sake of the sin of sinners. That's the heart of sinner. Nothing for herself. And we come to Jesus also, we share Jesus' destiny. Die on the cross. But with joy, not with sadness. Jesus doesn't want us to feel sad, but he wants us to share part of his life, cross. It was a great joy for me to see others returning to the source of happiness, the bosom of the divine mercy. It just one soul go back to the divine mercy, she enjoyed. Already this is the joy. Not because she doesn't feel this kind of pain. Always painful, she still enjoy. Seeing Father Sepulchro's sacrifice and efforts for this work, I admired his patience and humility. We don't know how his spiritual director suffered. She never mentioned. But in her previous writings, Father Sepulchro is the one who really suffered much also on this behalf. This all caused a great deal, not only in terms of toil and various troubles, but also of money. And Father Sepulchro was taking care of all the expenses. I can see the divine providence had prepared him to carry out this work of mercy before I had asked God for this. Oh, how strange are your ways, O God, and how happy are the souls that follow the call of divine grace. Praise the Lord, my soul, for everything, and glorify his mercy, for his goodness is without end. Everything will pass, but his mercy is without limit to or end. And although evil will attain its measure, in mercy there is no measure. Oh my God, even in the punishments you send down upon the earth, I see the beast of your mercy. For by punishing us here on earth, you free us from eternal punishment. Rejoice, all you creatures, for you are closer to God in his infinite mercy than a baby to its mother's heart. Oh God, your compassion itself for the greatest sinners who sincerely repent. The greater the sinner, the greater his right to God's mercy. May 12th, 1935, a certain woman. In the evening, I just about got into bed, and I fell asleep immediately. Though I fell asleep quickly, I was awakened even more quickly. A little child came and woke me up. The child seemed about a year old, and I was surprised he could speak so well, as children of that age either do not speak or speak very indistinctly. The child was beautiful beyond words and resembled the child Jesus. And he said to me, "Look at the sky." And when I looked at the sky, I saw the stars and the moon shining. Then the child asked me, "Do you see this moon and these stars?" When I said yes, he spoke these words to me: "These stars are the souls of faithful Christians, and the moon is the souls of religious. Do you see how great the difference is between the light of the moon and the light of the star? Such is the difference in heaven between the soul of a religious and the soul of a faithful Christian." I went on to say that true greatness is in loving God and in humility. Because Faustina, she offered her life, nothing for herself. If you marry, you fall, certain sense, also for your family, for your children, for your husband, for yourself, something. When you join a religious congregation, nothing for yourself. Even obedience, you have to take away what you want. Everything under obedience. If the superior say no, no. The husband say no, you can say yes. Double right, no? You're equal. But in the common, not of course, we are equal, but you give up your equality. Then I saw a soul which was being separated from its body, a bit great torment. Oh Jesus, as I'm about to write this, I tremble at the sight of the horrible things that bear witness against him. I saw the souls of little children and those of older ones, about 9 years of age, emerging from some kind of a muddy abyss. The souls were foul and disgusting, resembling the most terrible monsters and decaying corpses. But the corpses were living and gave loud testimony against the dying soul. And the soul I saw dying was a soul full of the world's applause and honors, the end of which are emptiness and sin. When we seek for the glory of the world, all these are corrupted things, stained. Finally, a woman came out who was holding something like tears in her apron, and she witnessed very strongly against him. Oh, horrible hour, oh, terrible hour, in which one is obliged to see all one's deeds in their nakedness and misery. Not one of them is lost. They will all accompany us to God's judgment. When we go to God, all our life, from the time you have your understanding until you died, whatever your thought, for better, for good, or bad, like just, you know, in a second, we see through all your life, whether you love or not. I can find no words or comparison to express such terrible things. And although it seems to me that this soul is not damned, nevertheless its torments are in no way different from the torments of hell. I mean, it's a soul in purgatory. It's only time limited, but still, like hell. When there's no God, it's hell. On earth, we have a body, we can see all the fake glory, as if you got all the medals, all the money, it can compensate. But it's not that in purgatory. There's only this difference. They will someday come to an end. A moment later, I again saw the child, who had awakened me. It was of wondrous beauty, and repeated these words to me: "The greatness of the soul is in loving God and in humility." I asked the child, "How do you know that true greatness of the soul is in loving God and in humility?" "Only theologians know about such things, and you haven't even learned the catechism. So how do you know?" To this he answered, I know all things." And with that he disappeared. It's a child Jesus, no? "But I could not no longer get to sleep. My mind became exhausted by thinking about the things I had seen. O human souls, how late you learn the truth. O abyss of God's mercy, pour yourself out as quickly as possible over the whole world according to what you yourself have said." May 1935, a certain moment. "When I became aware of God's great plans for me, I was frightened at their greatness and felt myself quite incapable of fulfilling them. I began to avoid interior conversations with him, filling up the time with vocal prayer. I did this out of humility, but I soon recognized it was not true humility, but rather a great temptation from the devil. When, on one occasion, instead of interior prayer, I took up a book of spiritual reading, I heard these words spoken distinctly and forcefully within my soul: 'You will prepare the world for my final coming.'" Final coming. So, although we don't know when's the end of the world, nobody believes that we are the end of the world. That's the time of Jesus. Nobody thinks the Messiah already are at hand. Nobody believes. Even Jesus present at his sight, no way. How can? It's a wrong concept of Messianism. They thought that Messiah is the one who bring us back to the glory of David. And nobody believed Jesus, a carpenter. Simple man. How can he be the Messiah? And today we see where nothing happened. These words moved me deeply, and although I pretended not to hear them, I understood them very well and had no doubts about them. Once being tired out of this battle of love with God and making constant excuses on the grounds that I was unable to carry out this task, I wanted to leave the chapel, but some force held me back and I found myself powerless. So she wanted to escape from this mission to spread the good news. She just tried to read other books, and so her mind get distracted to other things. When she concentrated on Jesus, and Jesus tell her, "Do this and do that," and so afraid. Maybe at times our prayers like this way, we left open ourselves, no? When you come to chapel and then and go away. You left ask you, "What do you want me to do today? What's the will? Am I doing right?" We dare not ask. Because most of the time when we ask, you answer. You didn't do well. You know? So this how we are struggling. Then I heard these words: "Oh, you intend to leave the chapel, but you shall not get away from me." Although you get far away from the chapel, I'm still next to you, Jesus says to Faustina. "For I am everywhere." So even you escape from the church, you can escape Jesus. Jesus is with you. "You cannot do anything of yourself, but with me you can do all things." Just give her the hope. All during this mission, Jesus helping her. She thought she's so weak, just one woman, in the common, and nobody believed her. And so far, so far as folks spoke, was so far away, and then, you know, so superior is a kind of middleman, but still, she got problem, you know, how to, she didn't want, she doesn't want to touch, just go away, let me in peace. But Jesus doesn't want, no, this for her in peace, but, no, humanly speaking, she was not in peace. She doesn't want to do it, to touch it. When in the course of the week, I went to see my confessor, Father Sopoko, and revealed the condition of my soul to him. It's good to have someone to share interior crisis. Especially the fact that I was avoiding interior conversation with God. She know, humanly speaking, she won't avoid this closeness with the Lord. I was told that I must not shrink from interior conversation with God, but should listen intently to the word he speaks to me. I followed my confessor's advice, and the first meeting with the Lord, I fell at Jesus' feet, and with great grief-striking heart, apologized for everything. Then Jesus lifted me up from the ground and set me beside him, and let me put my head on his breast, so that I could better understand and feel the desires of his most sweet heart. Then he spoke these words to me. My daughter, have fear of nothing. I'm always with you. All your adversaries will harm you only to the degree that I permit them to do so. You are my dwelling place and my constant repose. For your sake, I will withhold the hand which punishes. For your sake, I bless the earth. Because of one soul, humble, trust in Jesus, is willing to hold his hand. At that moment, I felt some kind of fire in my heart. I feel my senses deadening and have no idea what is going on around me. I feel the Lord's gaze piercing me through and through. I'm very much aware of his greatness and my misery. An extraordinary suffering pervades my soul to give a joy I cannot compare to anything. At the same time, joy and peace and then suffering together. I feel powerless in the embrace of God. I feel that I am in him, that I am dissolved in him like a drop of water in the ocean. I can express what takes place within me. After such interior prayer, I feel strength and power to practice the most difficult virtues. I feel dislike for all things that the world holds in its esteem. If all my soul, I desire silence and solitude. So when we come to chapel, we mean silence, be so lonely. The world distracts us so much. We want to escape from the Lord and go out to the world. Of course, you're not dancing, but you know, all things that you will not do according to your will. Many times we are doing things. May 1935, during 40 hours devotion, I saw the face of Jesus in the sacred host, which was exposed in the monstrance. Jesus was looking with kindness at everyone. I often see the child Jesus during Holy Mass. He is extremely beautiful. He appears to be about 1 year old. Once, when I saw the same child during Mass in the chapel, I was seized with a violent desire and an irresistible longing to approach the altar and take the child Jesus. Seeing Jesus on the altar, and also want to come to give a hug. No. At that moment, the child Jesus was standing by me, on the side of my Lila, and he leaned with his two little hands against my shoulder, gracious and joyful. He looked deep and penetrating. But when the priest broke the host, Jesus was once again on the altar and was broken and consumed by the priest. After Holy Communion, I saw Jesus in the same way in my heart and felt him physically in my heart throughout the day. Unconsciously, a most profound recollection took possession of me, and I did not exchange a word with anyone. I watched people as much as I could, always answering questions regarding my duties, but beyond that, not a word. Keep Jesus in our heart with silence. Unnecessary words, be far away. It's good that we have to learn something this way. To have kind of, you know, not because of in this way we will have peace. Even we don't have peace, but keep Jesus. No matter for better or for worse, important to keep Jesus there, no? Although you have still a pain, you have toothache, you have to suffer. But even toothache, you should be happy because Jesus accompanying you. June 9, 1935, Pentecost. As I was walking in the garden in the evening, I heard these words. By your entreaties, you and your companions shall obtain mercy for yourselves and for the world. I understood that I would not remain in the congregation in which I am at the present time. I saw clearly that God's will regarding me was otherwise. But I kept making excuses before God, telling him that I was unable to carry out this task. Jesus, you know I was unable to carry out this task. Jesus, you know very well that I am what I am, I said. And I started enumerating my weaknesses to the Lord, hiding behind them so that he would agree that I was unable to carry out his plans. Then I heard these words, do not fear. I myself will make up for everything that is lacking in you. So many times we don't have confidence because we are weak, but Jesus, you took part on this, fulfilling all our weaknesses so that we can fulfill his will. Don't be afraid. The time of Jesus in the gospel, so many times, peace with you. Don't be afraid. Go to the deep. Put your legs on the right side. Listen. God is always present, no? Maybe from far away, shouting from the seaside, and the people, the disciples at the boat, and they have nothing, catch. So put your leg on the right side of the boat, and they carry so much. Go to the deep. And this very famous word from JP2, you know, when the World Youth Day, I think in, I don't know whether it's in Rome or in Germany, one of the theme of the Pope's homily, go into the deep, JP2. It's beautiful for the young people. They like to explore new things. Go to the deep. Go otherwise. No, just don't stay where you are. We have to learn, you know. This new for us, silence in the Lord. One heart, one mind with the Lord. Nothing else. We live in the world, but not of the world, right? So I hope that, although you are not religious, but still Jesus appraised the people who really consecrate themselves in the life of religious life. They are like the moon, and you people like the stars, but still bright. This vocation, it doesn't mean they are brightless because they suffer more. They more suffer more to offer. So Jesus is looking at us equally well. Live well your vocation as a mother, as a wife, or as a single, or anything. But live well. Jesus really desired that our heart be one with Him. No matter you're married or not married, it doesn't matter. Keep offer your suffering for the sinners. And this desire of Faustina. So if you haven't dissolved so many problems, it's so hard to still carry out your family problems, Jesus will say, tell you, do not fear, I will take up your place. I myself will make up for everything that is lacking in you. Many things you can't have in the Philippines right this moment. Your mother, your parents, your children, many things, maybe they call you and make you disturbed, and you don't know how to do, what to do. So we offer our little sacrifice and leave it in the hand of Jesus.